Today is a small group Sunday for us, and what that means is we're going to give special attention today to our small group ministry. Thank you.
How was that? Let me start over. Today is small group Sunday, and we're going to talk about small groups today and what they, how they benefit us. What they mean, why is it that Sunday nights we meet in small groups? And if you are in a small group, I hope that today's lesson just reinforces why you participate in a small group. And if you're not, I hope that you would consider doing so and how you might be able to do so. I realize that not all of us may be able to be in position to do that, but possibly today's lesson would have you consider some way that you could find a closer walk with a closer, smaller number of people here. How many friends would you say that Jesus had? If we measured that by our, of course, the term friend, we can use that in a lot of different ways, but let's just use it by how we use it with social media. How many Facebook friends do you think Jesus would have? I would imagine if they had Facebook back then, that a lot of people would have befriended Jesus on Facebook. They would have heard him preach at some time, or they would have seen him heal, or maybe he would have healed them or a member of their family, and they would have considered him a friend. And as Joe mentioned, Jesus was ridiculed for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was a loving person, and I would imagine he would, in one definition of friendship, he would have many. But how many closer friends did he have? Jesus spent a lot of time with 12 apostles. He spent a lot of time. And then he did have even a group of three that on special occasions, on maybe difficult occasions, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray and he took Peter, James, and John. And the transfiguration happened. Jesus was in the garden with his disciples, his apostles, 11 of them, and then he took Peter, James, and John further. They were even closer to him. How many friends do you have? Studies show that although a person might have many friends, in a loose use of the term, that people say they really only have about a handful of close friends. And that's okay. That's just how we are, isn't it? That we may know a lot of people, but those close connections are going to be with a fewer number. And so on Sunday nights, we currently meet in 11 different groups. We don't come all together like we are this morning. We break up into groups, and we have groups for every age. The teens meet, the college age, on up. Young couples with young children, young people. On up, middle-aged, old people like me, and even older than me. So we have all kinds of groups that meet on Sunday nights. And we started that in 2000. And we've continued that, but as a church here, we started that in order to utilize a format that would help us meet needs of more closeness. Things that we would otherwise miss. Better fellowship, more intimate Bible study, stronger connections. The fact is, Jesus began, established the church in Jerusalem. Remember Acts chapter 2? When the church started, it started as a mega church. 3,000. Now imagine, picture 3,000 plus the children. That's a mega church. And yet they found ways, and I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We'll start in verse 42. How did this mega church, in the beginning of the kingdom, how did they have close ties with each other? How did they have those times when they could meet in smaller groups? And Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to four things that are listed: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And here we are 2,000 years later, and guess what? We focus and we devote ourselves to God's teaching. The apostles were inspired. We are devoted to the teachings of God through the Bible. We're devoted to times of fellowship. We are devoted to breaking the bread, which would be communion that we just had. And we are devoted to praying. The word that's translated fellowship here is from the Greek word, comes from a word koinonia, which means partnership. There are times, you know, we have partnership here in a large group, but partnership in Christ takes different forms. When we were on a mission trip to our missionaries in Canada. And we arrive at Canada, and on a recent trip, when our group goes on through, but there are three of us that get pulled into customs and questioned, and it's me and Steve and my sister Yvette. And she got released pretty early, and then they just dealt with the scoundrel Steve and I. And I have to tell you, I was so glad that he was there. I was. Maybe I should have wished that they had let him go and just be me, but I wasn't, right? Because I found comfort in, they had us separated, but I could still see, that's my brother right there. And he and I are in this together. And it was unnerving. But that's partnership. When I drive up last Wednesday night and we have debris from a storm, and there's debris still being picked up, and Ted and Brian Benton and Don Horton are out there cleaning up brush before Wednesday night. I wasn't there, but that's partnership. I know when you do God's work with others, with other Christians, you develop partnership, don't you? You grow closer to each other. You have connections there. There was a time that Rick calls me one night, and there one of our members in a bad neighborhood in Tulsa. It's wintertime. It's cold. They don't have heat in the house. And Rick calls me and says, "Will you go with me?" You know, it was a bad neighborhood. He needed some protection. He asked me to go with him. So I did. And that's partnership. And there's a joyful side to it. There really is. We had joy that night. We also had some awareness. What's going on around us? And are we going to be safe? But we had God with us. And we had each other. Partnership. That's what fellowship is. And that's a big reason why we have small groups to help foster that more and more. As Christians, we are in this together, aren't we? Yes. We need someone to have our back, and we need to have their back. And we need ways that we can have that in more deeper ways than just the handshakes on a Sunday morning, because if you're like me, there are times on a Sunday morning with a Sunday morning handshake, which is perfectly appropriate and great. But when people ask me how I'm doing, there are times I'm not doing well. But that's not the time and place to say, "Come here, let me dump, you know, my hardships on you right now." It may not be. Sometimes it's unavoidable, and it does. People do that, and I see them crying together and encouraging each other. But do you hear what I'm saying? When we say, "How you doing?" and we normally say, "I'm doing good." Well, we may not be. But we have other times that we can open up about struggles and strengthen each other. Verse 43. All came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. Let me read that again. All who believed were together. The church is you. And when we are separate, we are children in Christ, we're Christians, and we're part of the church, but the church isn't together. When we're together, the church is an army. We are an organization, and we function together. We have to be together to be the kingdom that God wanted. So they were together, they had all things in common. They were together because they were in it together. Now, how much do you think that meant to them? Because guess what? Their leader just got crucified. And it wasn't long before their new leaders, the apostles, James gets beheaded. They're getting put in prison. When persecution comes, their bonds, no doubt, were so strong. In small groups, the truth is personalities are different. In other words, in the small groups I've been a part of, we're not all the same. We don't all have the same personalities, and maybe without Christ we wouldn't even be connected. Some are more reserved, some are more outward, some play their life close to the vest, some are very much an open book. But we have the same Lord, We have the same enemy. We have the same struggles. And we are in it together. Reading on verse 45, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. There was a unique situation in that first megachurch because many of those Jews had come for Pentecost. It was a holiday. They traveled to Jerusalem. They would celebrate that for a time and they would go home. But because of the kingdom beginning, they were going to stay longer than they planned to. And maybe there was a shortage of funds because of that. No doubt there are always members that have some need and even financial need. 1 John 3:17 says, "If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" So we are a family in Christ. And there are times when some of us are in financial need. So often it's other kinds of needs. And I love that small groups are a way that we can help each other and identify needs and strengthen each other. I love that in your bulletin there's a thank you note from the Sisms. And that they are thanking you as their church family for having their back, for supporting them, strengthening them. But they also mention their small group and how that group in a special way rallied around them. I love that. Because that's what the groups are to be. They're to be that smaller family within the big family that is supportive, that when there's a need, they come to the rescue. So, continuing with this picture, how the church was close in the beginning. Verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So, why day by day, first of all? There are times that on a Wednesday night or even a Sunday, I'm not able to be here. In those times in the past, maybe I'm sick or on vacation. It always amazes me how few days it takes before I miss this. I miss the church family. I miss that small group time. I miss the Wednesday night time. It meets a different need. I miss the Sunday morning time, class time. It doesn't take very many days, church, before we are very much more like the world and much less like Christ and our brothers and sisters. We need to be together more. Amen. We need all the togetherness we can get. And it may happen in times and ways that we don't even know about. You're with other Christians and in numbers and occasions where it's not formal, but we need it. Because the devil, every day he's battling us. And it doesn't take long. Now, why would they meet in their homes? Well, can you imagine, 3,000 Christians, but including children, you're looking at maybe 6,000 in the first church. They could meet in the temple area, but how would they meet in a smaller group, in a smaller number? You can't get that many in a house. But they would meet in houses with smaller numbers. And no doubt you can imagine the strength they gained from those times. We do the same now. There's something that's wonderful about being in someone's home. And what I mean is you connect with them. You get to know them in a special way when you're in their home. They're being hospitable. You are in their territory. You get to know them and their life better. It is a wonderful opportunity. All right, verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Why was it day by day? Why wasn't it just Sunday by Sunday God added to their number? And the answer is, we are God's army. And God's army is not made up of weekend warriors. We are not weekend warriors for God. Amen? We're not Monday through Saturday for me. Sunday, I'm in God's army. The truth is, every day we battle. Every day we're trying to let our light shine to the world. Every day we're trying to encourage someone more toward Christ. This past weekend, it was Friday morning, I woke up with some vertigo. And I've had that once before when I had an inner ear infection. I remember waking up and seeing my alarm clock, and the little red readout of my alarm clock was doing this number around the bedroom, right, in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't think this is right. Anyway, so Friday morning, I woke up with some vertigo, and even it was better yesterday. It's a tad worse today, so if I seem a little weird to you more than usual today, I'm going to claim that's why. But I went to urgent care Friday, and the strangest thing happened. I'm talking with a doctor, and he's talking about getting me some steroids, and I said, that's good, because in a couple days, it'd be good if I can, you know, preach without staggering around and the church thinking maybe I'm, you know, hitting the bottle or something, you know, think bad things about me like they would. And so he said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes. And he just starts talking about his faith. And he starts preaching to me in a good way. And he talks and I listen. There's even a point where, you know, I'm nodding, which I do, that's instinctively what I do when someone's talking to me. I affirm what they're saying. I'm nodding, and as I would nod, I would get a little shaky, and I'm having to really focus, you know. I don't want to pass out listening to this guy because, you know, we're connecting in Christ. And that's what soldiers of God do daily, right? It wasn't Sunday. But we are in a battle against evil, and we need to encourage each other. Even if you meet a stranger and you realize you don't know what all their theology is, but you know they believe in the Christ that I believe in, then we have a connection. And that was encouraging to me. And I left there. I had help with, you know, medical issues, which I went for. But I also was encouraged, and he was too. We're in this day by day, church. Verse 32. Oh, I know where that is. Verse 47. Day by day they were being saved. And so, just a reminder, our primary mission is reaching the lost. And that does, we don't just baptize people during a church service. I want you to realize that. Folks, if you've never given your life to Christ, never had your sins washed away, the Bible shows that people did that all times and occasions, even in the middle of the night, and we have and will, and I hope we'll again in the future. Get a call at 2 in the morning and say, I'm so sorry, but I've got to do this, and will you help me? And the answer is, I would be honored to. It is great to have a close-knit group that has your back. And I want to share some things from my observations about small groups. One of the rules in our small groups, one of the rules we practice is whatever you share in group stays in group. There's a level of confidentiality in our small groups. And that's something that we trust, and it has to be honored. But what that means is there have been occasions where people have opened up about personal and private things in their life. Because of that, they have this group of people they can trust, and they will share things that they would not feel comfortable sharing in maybe even in this group, but they would in a smaller number of their brothers and sisters. And it's important. And I've seen a number of things that were shared in groups, and a number of times that when that happens, the group will stop. Basically, deviate from what they were going to do that night, whatever study or whatever it was going to be, and the group will stop and help whoever it is that has a need that has put something before the group. And I love it. They call an audible on the fly, and they say, this is what we need our time to be spent on tonight. And they do it. There are more sharing of successes, praises in small groups. I love that it's when you have a study, when there are about 10 people there, some people will make a comment or ask a question in a group of 10, but they won't do it in a group of 40. And that's a value of small groups. Small groups allow for a closer bond. They should not be cliques. Small groups should not be cliques, okay? And the definition of a clique is a small group that is closed off. So, in other words, I oftentimes see our members talking in groups. And I will see, for example, I will see the Bentons talking with the Knotts and maybe with the Prices. And when I first saw that, it kind of puzzled me. I knew the Knotts had been here a little while, but how did they seem really close to the Bentons? It kind of scratched my head. That's because I wasn't paying attention. Guess what? They're in small group together. That's why they're together. That's why they have a special connection. And that is wonderful. And it's not a click until others try to join that circle or that small group and they're excluded. And we don't do that. Does that make sense? So I want you to understand small groups are not to be cliquish, and they're not as long as we're not closed off. And that's not our intent, and I've not seen that. And so I love it. I love the closeness of the relationships that develop. This our final scripture today from a little further on, Acts 4:32, talks about the church in that beginning. They were one. They had one heart and soul. It's what we need as Christians. We need our hearts to beat together for Christ. We need to know that we are in this together. Yes, we have a myriad of differences, but we're one because of Christ. I've gotten to know different ones closely in this congregation at different times in the past. The Wallers, Tori and his family. Dustin Waller and his family. The Bentons, the Odells, the Praters. The list goes on, but I just wanted to point out a few. The reason I have a little closer connection with some of these is because at one time in the past I was in group with them. I've been in settings where we shared our lives more closely. And as groups grow and they make two groups, one group forms another. So I'm not in a group currently with any that I just named. We're not in group together. But guess what? That connection is still there because it was developed. It's something that doesn't go away. You don't lose it. I love that our groups are they tend to be birds of a feather gathered together. They're similar age. When I had little kids, we were in a group with little kids. And we have a group like that right now. Kenny Tucker leads that group. But I love that our groups are similar stages in life. The college group, I think it's so great that we have a college young adult group. And they understand each other. They're in the same place in life together. When you see them, they are a group. They're a small group within the big group, within the church. I love it. I love that my children, younger two girls, they want to go to their teen small group. Folks, our teenagers need each other. We call it a youth group. Call it what you want. Our teenagers need each other. They need parents, but they also need their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ because they're growing up in a worldly world, right? In school and with their jobs and whatever activities they're involved in. Yes, they have friends. They need friends that are devoted to Christ. And they may not have so much in common with the youth group members, but they have Christ in common. And they need that. I appreciate Keith and all he does because my girls are benefiting from that work, that labor. They are bonding with those. And those relationships they need because their primary allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And may it always be. Our groups laugh together. One of my goals in my small group, this is, let me step out of preaching for a second and I just have to say I love, so we have a couple people, Jessica and Tammy, if they laugh uncontrollably, and sometimes we achieve that, sometimes it's just one, and that's, I give a big thumb, I'm glad I came to group, it's just a unique thing, but we will laugh together, and sometimes so much that some just lose it. And sometimes it'll be both of them. And it's awesome. I love it. It's a highlight of the week to come with your fellow Christians, laugh together, cry together, pray together, study together, share together. That's what small groups are to be about. Sometimes there's a surprise. I came one night in our group, just as it happened that night, there were only three of us, me, Tiffany Snyder, Tammy Hobson. The three of us don't belong, I mean, we don't have anything that's really earthly that ties us together. We're not three BFFs, me, Tiffany Snyder, and Tammy Hobson. That's a motley crew is what that is. That's an odd group. But it surprised me that because when I first realized, and we look around, we're like, okay, no one else is coming. This is it for tonight. When I first realized that, I'm thinking, you know, if I'd have known, I probably would have canceled. But I'm glad I didn't. Because we shared that night. And one of us in particular, and the other two encouraged the one. And we were all encouraged. It was special. Because nothing about our humanness, it was about our spiritualness. It was about Christ. I won't forget that. There are a few barriers. Let me touch on this and I'll wrap it up. I want to mention, I know some of you live quite a distance away. We have folks in this church family, and you live in Prue or Skytook or East Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Bigsby, I mean, all around. And if I had to drive 30 minutes to get to my church family and 30 minutes back, trust me, it would be hard for me to come back Sunday night. Mentally, I would just think, you know, I already came once that day. It's kind of doesn't quite make sense to go twice. Here's what I would ask you to consider, and I would hope that I would do this if I were in that situation. When you travel, it is amazing the unique opportunity to communicate and just have a conversation with whoever you're with. If you're driving with someone. Now, if you're alone, it can still be uniquely a unique opportunity with you and God while you're driving. But oftentimes, there's someone else you're with, and what I'm saying is, if you drive 30 minutes over and 30 minutes back, if you've ever wanted to talk to your spouse or a parent-child or a relationship like that, guess what? When you're in the car together, you don't have to say, hey, can we talk? Right? You don't have to say, hey, there's something I want to talk with you about this. You just start talking. Anyway, there's value there that maybe we have not identified. We may think about the financial aspect of it, and I would imagine about $10 would cover gas going and coming, and probably more than cover it. And for me, I can tell you, here's the funny thing for me. Thursday nights, I take Abby to gymnastics lessons in Broken Arrow. I don't give one single thought about gas money driving over there. There was a time our finances were so tight, I would think about it, right? I would factor that in. And I would, when you're pinching pennies, you're pinching pennies. But I'm, you know, thank God at a place where I don't give one thought to the gas money that it costs to drive over there. I would have you consider that. I would also add, maybe you would consider, you might not be able to come every Sunday night, but maybe one a month. Maybe you're in a group and you can make it one time a month because of the distance you live away. And I think there would be value in that. I think you would be an encouragement to the group and the group to you as well. If you are a more private person, I want you to know that groups function in a way that you share as much as you wish or as little as you wish. Trust me, we do not pry. We do not put the spotlight on you and say, okay, tell us your deep, dark secret. It's voluntary, all right? And then one final thing is, if you normally do other things on Sunday nights, I would ask you to consider investing more in the kingdom. If your schedule is a certain way and Sunday nights you normally do this, that, or the other, maybe even your family time with your earthly family, I would ask you to consider arranging things. If we can find a way to invest more in the kingdom, aren't we wise by doing so? Amen. Investing more of our time and our energy. So I've given you everything I can give you to say I think there's so much to be gained by what we do Sunday nights. And I would ask you to pray about that for you and how you might be able to benefit more from that. We're going to sing a song, an encouragement song. The song is Bind Us Together. And we need that. We have to stick together. And when the devil pulls some of us away, we've got to go after you. And you've got to know we want you back. We're in this together. We're going to sing this song. If there's something you need, we'd ask that you come and let us help you with it while we stand and sing.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. There is only one God. There is only one King. There is only one body. Bye.